And we're holding on an invasion of an hour, my Mishnah. Still on the topic of somebody's mudr hana from somebody else, what's allowed, what's not allowed, Mishnah says, Had mudr hana mechaveru lifnei shvi'is, somebody is mudr hana from his friend before Shemitah, any yod l'sef sadehu, so he can't go into his field, but any oichel hana notice, and he can't eat any of the fruit on branches that lean out over the outside the field. Or Rashviyas, any yod l'sef sadehu, during Shemitah, he also can't go into his field, aval oichel hana notice, but he can eat from the fruit that's hanging over, outside the field. So you can't actually walk onto the property, but anything that's hanging outside you can eat.
Even though it's not the property.
Right, Shmita, it's Shmita.
Right.
Well, that's the point the Gemara is going to take up. Now, the thing is, we're talking about that the Baal HaSada is also, that the visitor is also Kavanah from the Baal HaSada. So for a regular year, that's what the Mishnah is saying, he can't go into his field or eat from any of the fruit. Now, the thing is, what the Gemara is going to discuss, it comes out from the Gemara, there's two possible ways of understanding the Mishnah. The word lifnei shvi'is over there can be understood that the neder was made before shvi'is versus when the neder was made during shvi'is. Or we can understand it that the neder was made, doesn't really matter when. And then the neder was made, let's say, some other year, not Shemitah. And then the difference, what happens other years and what happens with that same neder while that same neder is in effect during Shemitah. In other words, basically, are we talking about a new neder that was made during Shemitah versus a neder that was made before Shemitah? Or are we talking about the neder was made before Shemitah and that neder itself, there comes out a change in it during Shemitah? Another him in a Michael. What if he only made a neder not to have hana of food from him? Well, lifnei shvi'is yerod l'sef sadehu. So before shvi'is, he would be allowed to go into his field because that's not considered a hana of Michael, just walking onto his property. The ainu oichel min haperes, but he still wouldn't be able to eat from the fruit, obviously, because that would be Michael. Or v'shvi'is yerod v'oichel, but doing shmita, he would be able to go in and actually eat the fruit.
So walking in the field,
that's not Michael. That's not Michael. So the difference is, in the Reisha, we're talking about he was Mudr Hana, then we were saying he couldn't actually walk into the field. He could just, any fruit that's leaning out, any fruit that's hanging out on branches outside the field, you can pick that and eat it. But here, since he's only Mudr Michael, he's not Mudr Hana in general, then sure, he can walk onto the property. There's no problem with that. Now, the real question is, the Gemara is going to deal with at the end before the next Mishnah, Bechlal, I mean, during Shemitah, it's not just the Peiros that are Hefker, the field itself is Hefker. That's the point. Anybody can walk into the field and take what they want. So why is this guy also to walk into the field? That's what we'll deal with later on. First, though, the Gemara starts off like this. Rav and Shmuel da Amritavayu. Rav and Shmuel both say the din is as follows. Nechasim elu alacha lifnei shvi'is. If somebody says before Shmita that these nechasim are also to you, alacha means they're also to you as a koinam or whatever, these nechasim are also to you, then lifnei shvi'is ein yerod l'sef sadehu. So before shvi'is, he wouldn't be able to go into his field, but ein oichel min hanotis, and he can't eat from the fruit that's leaning out, that hangs out of the field. Apal pi shehigia shvi'is, even when Shemitah comes. In other words, what Rav and Shmuel are saying basically is like this. When you made the neder the year before Shemitah, let's say, or 2 years, whatever, it doesn't matter. At that time, the fruit belonged to you, and the field belonged to you. At that point, you had the ability to after it on the guy. That issur does not go away just because Shemitah came. So even though at that point the fruit is not considered yours anymore, it's Hefker. Nevertheless, the person is still also to go and eat from it. So the neder was chal. We learned before that a neder can be chal on divrei mitzvah when you include them. For example, we have that if you say that a sukkah is also for me to sit in all year round, then you're also to sit in that sukkah. This is a vaguely similar concept, that since you're able to ascertain before Shemitah, then the Isser still is in effect during Shemitah. Well, the point is, because it's not just because it's a mitzvah. What the Gemara is going to be discussing is because if you're madir somebody not to have hana from certain nechasim, that neder can still be in effect even if those nechasim are no longer yours. That's what the Gemara is going to be discussing back and forth over here. So therefore, at the time these nechasim were yours, the fruit was yours. Therefore, even though during Shemitah it's not yours, the neder is still in effect. the imbeshvius nader. However, if he made the neder during shvius, a yerd l'ses sedeu, then the other guy can't go into the field, as we said in the Mishnah. Aval oichel minan noitzes, but that's when the Mishnah is saying that he can go, that he can eat from the fruit that hangs over the edges. In other words, so Rav and Shmuel are understanding that the when the Mishnah says lifnei shvius, it's talking about when you may, it's lifnei shvius versus uva shvius. It's not talking about when the dinim are chal, but when the neder was made. You made the neder lifnei shvius, then never is the guy allowed to go into the field or eat from the fruit, even during Shemitah. However, if you made the neder uva shvius, then you don't have the ability to ask him to eat the fruit, but you do have the ability to ask him to walk into your field.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's half an hour, okay. That's Rav and Shmuel. Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish to Amit Abayu, whereas Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish say, they both say, and the Gemara is going to be discussing now, in what exactly is their argument with Rav and Shmuel, or is there even an argument? So Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish both say, if he says, Nechosai Alecha Lifnei Shvius, if he says, Nechosai Alecha, that my Nechosim are also to you, Lifnei Shvius and Yerud L'Sech Tadeu Vein Erechim and Anoitah. So before Shemitah, he's not allowed to go into the field. He's not allowed to eat from the stuff that's hanging over. Higia Shvius and Yerud L'Sech Tadeu Rav L'Ochel Ves Anoitah. But when it comes Shemitah, that same neder, even though the same neder from beforehand is still in effect, nevertheless, part of it gets taken away. The person is now allowed to eat from the food that's hanging over, which he wasn't before. So he can't go inside, but he can eat the stuff that's hanging over. In other words, effectively, what it sounds like is that Rav and Shmuel are saying, when you say before Shemitah, my nechasim, including my fruit, are also to you, then that stays in effect even during Shemitah. So only if it's already during Shemitah, when it's not your nechasim in the first place, then we would say that then we would say that you don't have the ability to answer it to him. Whereas Rav and you don't have the ability. They're the ones that we're talking about, the ones that are outside. According to Rav and Shmuel, you have the ability to ask the ones to him, but only if you made the neder before Shemitah. If you made the neder during Shemitah, before you made that neder, that fruit wasn't yours, because Shemitah is Hector. Therefore, you don't have the ability to ask it to him. You just have the ability to ask him to walk into your field for reasons that we'll talk about later.
Either way, the only thing you could end up with is stuff hanging over anyhow.
Well, that's a given. The point is, to Rav and Shmuel, if you made the neder before Shemitah, then the person's not even allowed to take that fruit during Shemitah.
That's hanging over.
Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, yes. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, regardless whether the neder was made before Shemitah or during Shemitah, the person will be allowed to take any of the fruit that's hanging over.
What could be the behind it?
Well,
he's not walking into the field, but he's taking the food
at the hand. So that's the thing. According to Rav and Shmuel, you have the ability to ask somebody to eat your nechassim, as this fruit was before yours beforehand, in the fifth or sixth or whatever it is year, and therefore that issur still stays in effect come Shemitah. Actually, okay, Achronim talk about how exactly, the Peiris is Zavr Shalai Bola Olam, how can you ask it anyway? One possibility is you're asking the tree and anything that comes out of it. The tree exists. Whatever. Anyway, so that's the point of Rav and Shmuel. If you have the ability to answer it to him beforehand, then that issue still stays in effect Shemitah, during Shemitah. Whereas the point of Yochanan and Rish Lakish, so far, it seems that not. You don't have the ability. Yes, you had the ability to answer it to him last year, but this year you don't, because it doesn't belong to you. Therefore, that part of the neder gets canceled automatically, and he's allowed to go take that food, as long as he doesn't walk in. So, lame or bust.
Something still taking effect.
The fact that you can't walk in, sure. Right. So, Leva Bahakam, if we so does that mean, should we say then, that the Machloikas is as follows? The Rav Shmuel Savri Odom Oto Java Shabir Shusei, Akibul Shayetimir Shusei. Evidently, then, it sounds like Rav and Shmuel hold that a person can answer something that belongs to him even when it stops belonging to him. So he can say these Nechasim are also to you, and that Isser still stays in effect even if later on those Nechasim don't belong to you. You sell them or give them away or make them Hefker or whatever. Whereas Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish evidently hold that not.
Does that, or if it's...
Well, that's, but here we're talking about where it becomes Hefker, it's not his. So the Ran has a long discussion of it over here about what, according to our current understanding of the Machlokes, what's Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's Svara. So they're saying that we're saying they have to understand the Mishnah as follows. According to them, the Lifnei Shvius and Uva Shvius is not talking about when the Neder took effect. It's talking about when are you allowed or not allowed to take fruit from this field. So regardless when the neder was made, you can't take fruit before Shemitah, but you can take it during Shemitah. So what's the point? The first part that you can't take it during Shemitah then is blatantly obvious. Of course, if a person is madur you from in the chasim, then of course you can't take fruit from his field. So according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, we would have to say that part of the Mishnah is not really telling us anything new. It's just an introduction to the next part. Because we want to inform you, a chiddush, that even though the neder was made before during Shemitah, was made before Shemitah, and you would think the same fruit that was also before shouldn't all of a sudden become mutter now, nevertheless they're saying it does. But you have to, in order to know that, you have to know the first part that it was also from beforehand. Where the coins are Rav and Shmuel, what we're saying currently is both parts of the Mishnah are teaching us a chiddush. The first part is teaching us that if you made the neder before Shemitah, then even during Shemitah you can't take any of the fruit. And the second part is telling us if you made the neder during Shemitah, then you are allowed to take from the fruit. Okay, so then if that's the machlokes v'tisbara, how could you say that? Me ikal amanda amar ein adam oisa davar shabirushus alachshiyetze birushusay. Really, is there actually anybody who holds that? That you can't after something and have it remain also even when it goes out of your rishus? If that's the case, if that's the case, then why are, what do we have at the beginning? We said Rav and Shmuel said nechasim elu, which okay, the Haggai Sabbath changes it to not nechasim elu, but nechasai alecha. And Rav and Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish also use the word nechasai alecha. If you're telling me that both of them actually hold. Put it this way, if one of them held that the neder expires when the thing goes out of your rishus, and the other one does not hold that, then instead both of them should have been using the expression nechasim elu, and we would say that according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the difference would be then if you say nechasai alacha, then once they're not my nechasim anymore, then they're mutter to you. Whereas if you say nechasim elu, then it would mean it's still in effect after you give them away or whatever. But the fact is they don't make that distinction. Both Rav and Shmuel are using the expression nechasim elu. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are using the expression nechasai alacha. Or again, according to Haggai Sabbath, all of them are using the same expression nechasai alacha. You don't have, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish should be making that distinction, if that's the case, that there can be a case where you answer something and it's only in effect as long as it's mine, versus you answer something and it's also forever, when you say Nechasim Elu. Nifligim Nechasim Elu, V'choshekin Nechasai. So let them talk about Nechasim Elu, which then we would say, and we would say even by Nechasim Elu, it sounds you would want to argue that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would say that nevertheless, when you sell them, then it becomes mutter. And how much more so if you say nechasai? Nechasai is weaker than nechasim elu because nechasim elu means that you're putting the issur on the nechasim, regardless of who they belong to at this time. Nechasai means my nechasim, so it would only be in effect as long as it's mine. The fact that they're not making that distinction, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish just say nechasai alecha, sounds like they don't make that distinction. They would tack a hold that there can be a case where you ask something to somebody forever, no matter who owns it at that point. Our Mishnah, when it said, Amudu Anam Mechaber Elif Nishvius, it didn't say the person didn't say Nechasai Alecha. He may well have said Nechasim Elu. And then, according to what we just figured out, based on the wording that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish did or didn't use, it sounds like, yes, it would be also forever. So how could they be saying that the same fruit that was also in the sixth year is now all of a sudden mutter in the seventh year?
So the question is
on Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. You want to argue that Rav and Shmuel are saying that if you ask the chasim to somebody, then they remain also forever. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would want to say that the issur goes away once the thing doesn't belong to you. But the wording that they use doesn't fit with that. The fact that they chose to talk about Nechasai Alecha, which for sure then, fine, there's a logical reason to say that the issur would expire when you sell it. But they didn't talk about Nechasim Elu, but just then they hold that Nechasim Elu would be also forever. So then, in that case, what are they arguing about? The two, and furthermore, not only that, we actually have a Mishnah we actually have a Mishnah later on in our Masechta, that in the next parak, that talks about that a person can ask for something that's in his Rishus, and the Isser is still in effect after it goes out of his Rishus. It's not. We learn in the Mishnah. If a person says to his son a koinam, that you're anything that you would have hana from me, which effectively means, you know, that you're not allowed to have hana from me. Mes yurashenu. If the father dies, then the son is able to inherit that property.
The
issur goes away because he said shatan nan and li to me, and now it's not mine anymore. But if he says b'chayav over moisa, that this issur should be in effect when I'm alive and after I die, in mes lo yurashenu. Then in that case, the son does not inherit him after he dies,
even
though it's not his anymore. Ah, so what about the din of the Torah? Okay, so the Ran says over here, it doesn't actually mean he doesn't yarshin him. He does yarshin him, right. You can't take away the din of the Torah that a son yarshins. But he yarshins, but he can't have enough from it. What would he have to do? With Pashut, he'd have to, like, give it away as hefker or something, and then, and you know.
Can't
sell. So he'd have enough from the selling, yeah. The Rashba and a few others are showing him hold differently. They hold that, in fact, no, it literally means you can't yarshin him. Again, for the same reason that you can say sukkah is also to me to sit in, and then you're not allowed to sit in the sukkah. Same thing, you can say that he's in the chosim also for you to inherit, and then you don't inherit him. Anyway, so you see from that yes, the issur still stays in effect after the guy is dead, after it's no longer in his rishus. So therefore, so you see clearly from that, Gary, if you have a Mishnah that says that, neither Rav, nor Shmuel, nor Rav Yechanan, nor Rish Lakish can argue with that. So how can you tell me that Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish would argue that the issur expires, which is what they're arguing our Mishnah is saying, that the issur expires comes Shmita, comes Shvius, when we see from this Mishnah about inheritance that it's not like that? The answer is, fine, okay, you could say that Mishnah is different. The fact that he says b'chayev v'moisa is different. That's a special kind of case. Which means, in other words, the Ran says that now what we're up to is there may be three different possibilities. There's where you say nechosim elu. Let's rephrase that. At first, up until now we were figuring that according to Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, there is no loshen that you can ever ask for something permanently. We argued that that's what they were saying. Since they're saying that the neder from last year stops being in effect as far as the payers for this year, for Shemitah, then that means they hold there's no way to make a neder that overrides Shemitah, that still is in effect when it's not in his rishus. Now we're saying, okay, there is actually a way based on this Mishnah. When he says, b'chayev v'moisa, that's different. That's a special case. The fact that you explicitly said that this should be in effect even after I die, that's different.
So normally
it should expire, according to fine. Makal makam kasha, but we still have the original kasha, namely that we said before, again, given the lashon that Rav and Shmuel, not Rav and Shmuel, that Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish were using, that they used the lashon nechosai olecha rather than talking about nechosim elu, it sounds like maybe they're only saying nechosai is able to expire because you're saying my nechosim, but not if you say nechosim elu, because then you're talking about the nechosim. And then you would say it's also forever.
But they're not using the Mishnah, using that
lashon. Well, the Mishnah didn't use any lashon at all, but the fact that Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish are using that lashon sounds like then, so how are they explaining the Mishnah? And the Mishnah just didn't say anything specific, and the Mishnah just said, Amudah Anam Chavei. So then it could just as well mean that he said, all my nechosim are also to you. And according to that logic that so far as we're understanding Rav and Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish, it would sound like they'd say, fine, that has to be in effect even during Shemitah. But yet the Mishnah tells us, according to them, that's not in effect during Shemitah. So you still have that kasha. How exactly are you understanding me? How?
According to Rav Lakish, second.
Yeah, Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish, yeah.
If we use the lashon the chazai says,
then it would expire, yes, because then during Shemitah it's not my nechassim anymore. But if they say, but it sounds like, not explicitly, we don't know explicitly from what they said, but by implication, since they only mentioned nechassai alecha, which is a very weak lashon, and they didn't use the stronger lashon, nechassim elu, and say that even that expires, it sounds like they would agree nechassim elu doesn't expire. Well, if nechassim elu doesn't expire, then how are you explaining our Mishnah? Fine. Let's change things. Let's say that if the person says nechosim elu, then you're right. Everybody would agree that it never expires. No, the machlokas rather between Rav and Shmuel on the one side and Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish on the other would be if you say nechosai, that my nechosim are also to you. So Rav Shmuel Savri Loshin on the Chosim Eilu Loshin on the Chosim. It doesn't matter which Loshin you use. Adam Oyser, a person is able to ask for something and it's still in effect even after he dies or sells it or what have you. Rav Yechon, Rav Shlokash Savri Nechosim, Adam Nechosim, or Nechosim Eilu, Adam Oyser, Nechosai Ein Adam Oyser. Fine, so you would say then that according to Rav Yechon and Rav Shlokash, you would have to say, you're right. You would have to say that our Mishnah was talking about only the case where you said Nechosai. You're right so far. If you were to say Nechosim Eilu, then yes, even Rav Yechanan and Rav Shlokish might have to agree that it doesn't expire during Shemitah. And the logic is, by the way, the Ran explains the logic is that Rav Yechanan, that Rav Shmuel would hold, once you put an Isser on something, that Isser can't just disappear by itself. Similar to what we had a couple of weeks ago, the idea that when you declare something koinam, which that's what we're doing over here, we're declaring a koinam, then it has a certain degree of hektish to it, and that hektish, we talked about Ula versus, we talked about over there, the machlokas between Ula and who was it over there, between Vipada and Ula, whether the Kedusha just goes away automatically, whether you need to be poided or whatever. So they would hold, it doesn't go away automatically. You said Nechosai, and now it's not yours anymore. Fine, but the Issur can't just disappear by itself. So now what we have then is the Ran explains that now, at this point in the argument, then actually, not like I said a minute ago, that Rabbi Yechon and Rosh Lakish would have to say the Mishnah is talking about where you said Nechosai. No. The Mishnah, so far at this point in the argument, now Rabbi Yechon and Rosh Lakish and Rav and Shmuel are all explaining the Mishnah the same way. That the Mishnah is distinguishing now whether you made the Neder before Shemitah or during Shemitah. If you made it before Shemitah, then even during Shemitah, you can't go in and pick fruit. You can't pick fruit from the sides over there. If you made it during Shemitah, then everybody would agree you can go pick the fruit because you don't have the ability to answer it.
Both
sides would have to agree so that that's what the Mishnah means at this point. Because you can't say the Mishnah is talking about where you only said Nechosai Alech, because again, the fact the Mishnah just said generically, Hamudu Hanam Mechaberei, and that has to cover all the possibilities. Okay? Still. Still, you're telling me that there's any opinion that says now the question is on how we're trying to understand Rav and Shmuel. Is there any opinion that says that there's no difference whether you say Nechosim Elu or Nechosai, that either way it never expires, even when you sell it or whatever? Well, it's not, but we learn in a Mishnah, again, later in the next parak. If somebody says to his friend, that I won't enter your house, Sod Chashani Lekeach, or a Koinam on the field if I would buy it, meaning that the house or the field is also for me, by a Koinam. Mess, it now, if the person, so if the person who originally owned the house or the field dies, Osha Mokhe La'acher, he sold it to somebody else, Mutter. Then he's Mutter to walk in. On the other hand, Labai Zeh Shani Nichnas, Sod Azu Shani Lekeach, what if the Noider says, this house I won't go into, or this field that I'm also to buy, then Mesa Shemach Alachar also. Then if he dies or sells it to somebody else, it is also, because then he said this field. So then the thing goes on the field itself. So you see, so there's a clear difference in that Mishnah between whether you say your house or whether you say this house. Your house implies only as long as it's yours. If you sell it, it's not yours anymore. This house implies, regardless, who owns it? This particular parcel of land, this particular house. So obviously, then you have to say there's that distinction. So how can you tell me that Rav and Shmuel would hold there's no such distinction? Which you're still trying to argue that Rav and Shmuel are arguing somehow with Rav Yechon and Rav Shlokish. How could that be? We wanted to say that they're distinguishing between whether you say Nechosim Elu, which is the Elu is the equivalent of Zeh, or whether you say Nechosai, which is the equivalent of Nechosecha. One is where you're tying it to the Nechosim of the person, one is where you're saying these Nechosim themselves. But you see from this Mishnah that there's no such distinction. So Rav and Shmuel can't be saying that. Okay, Ella, so no, you have to say, Ki Amri Rav Yechon and Rav Shlokish v'Nechosai, v'Rav and Shmuel v'Nechosim Elu. You know, v'Loi Pligi. You know, we want to know what actually, there's actually no machlokes between them. Rav and Shmuel are talking about one case where you say Nechosim Elu, and then Nataka is also forever. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are talking about a different case where you say Nechasai, and then everybody would agree that that expires once you sell it. But what Pliggy, so there's no real machlokes. So as far as explaining the Mishnah, they're both on the same page. They're both saying, like we said before, that the Mishnah is distinguishing between the Mishnah is talking about when you said Nechasim Elu, you said these Nechasim are also. So therefore, if you made the neder before Shemitah, then Taka during Shemitah, the guy can't pick any fruit, because they're still also to him. Whereas if you made the neder during Shemitah, then you don't have the ability to after them because they're not your Nechasim anyway, and therefore you can pick. So they're not really arguing. They're just they're talking about two different cases. Rabbi Yochanan, in particular, Rabbi Yochanan has to clarify that. Don't think that the Mishnah is talking about that the Mishnah is talking about a case where he said Nechasai, and that expires during Shemitah. No, the Mishnah is indeed talking about Nechasim Elu, and therefore Taka, if he made the neder before Shemitah, then Taka doesn't expire during Shemitah. The Ran points out, by the way, in the whole discussion over here, we've been putting Rav and Shmuel first, and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish second. Rav is older than Rabbi Yochanan. I don't know why, but whatever. Here, at the end over here, we say Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and then we say Rav and Shmuel. So the Ran points out why we're flipping around the order. The reason is because all this time we were assuming that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing with Rav and Shmuel. Now that we finally come to the conclusion that they're not arguing, so we wanted to say, you thought that Rav and Shmuel said something and then Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish came to contradict it. No, you should know. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish said something, nothing directly to do with what Rav and Shmuel said. They said their own thing. Rav and Shmuel said their own thing. There's no actual machlokes.
Well,
right now we're learning. That's my... Okay. Then the Mishnah continued, over Shvius Ein Yerd L'Sef Sedeh, that during Shemitah, the person who's also to have Anah is not allowed to go into the field. He can only pick from the ones that are hanging over the sides. So what's the difference? What are you telling me? He's allowed to eat the fruit that hangs over the sides to pay to death Kerei Inun? Fine, because the fruit is Hefker. It's not. It's again, according to the Maskana that we said, he made the nether on him during Shemitah. At the point when he made the neder, the fruit didn't belong to the Baal HaSadeh, because the whole thing is hefker. So therefore, you didn't have the ability to answer it. To pay to the hefker, because they paid us some hefker. Well, Aranami Akkara, well, then isn't the land itself also hefker, so why can't he just walk in? So Ola says, yes, but you could be talking about a case where you're talking about the trees that are standing by the edges of the field. Namely, yes, according to Ola, you would be allowed to walk anywhere in the field in order to pick fruit. If you're going to pick in the middle of the field, necessarily, yes, you have to walk into the middle of the field. We're not going to ask you that, because all the fruit is hefker. But when it comes to the ones that are on the side, what's the whole purpose? Why is the Torah masking the field during Shemitah so that people can come in and pick fruit? Well, the trees in the middle of the field, necessarily, you have to walk into the field, so therefore that's part of the hefker. The trees by the edges, you don't have to walk into the field in order to pick the fruit. You're able to pick it just by reaching up over, because they hang over the fence. Therefore, don't go into the field for those. You don't have permission. Minatarda. Okay, well, whatever it is that hangs over, you don't have permission to go into the field to pick that part that hangs over, because you don't need to, because you can just as well pick them from the outside. Reb Shimon ben Yochum says a different reason. Minat Torah, actually, you would be allowed to walk through the whole field. Even if you're talking about getting the noitos, the ones that hang over, yes, you would be allowed to walk into the middle of the field to get them, because, whatever, the whole field is hefker. Midrabanan, though, what we're concerned is, if you walk in to pick the fruit, you may stay there longer than normal. And remember, you're also bano, this person. So yes, the walk-in to actually pick fruit, that you could do. But you'd have to then walk out right away. What happens if you stand there longer? You're having anah from him. And that's awful. So because of that, we make a sin. Well, you're having anah from his field.
But it's still time to field right now.
But it doesn't matter. You're, but
this is probably all the rabbi.
Yeah, I mean, you're...
No, no can walk away with the rabbi.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so...
So therefore, we don't want you to walk into the field because you may stay there longer. We had a similar concept the other day when we talked about Bikur Cholim, where it said there that you have to stand and not sit. There was a similar. The Gemara mentioned the similar logic over there. The vart is there. The difference is there. With a field, you only stand. With Bikur Cholim, you can stand or sit. If you stand for Bikur Cholim, that itself is going to remind you that you have that you shouldn't stay there longer than necessary, because then you'd be trespassing on his property and being and having hanah from it. The very fact that you're standing reminds you of that. Here, you walk into a field to pick fruit. You're standing the whole time of necessity. So therefore, that you're not going to have anything to remind you, and therefore, Rav Shimon Yochum is saying don't go in the first place. One interesting detail over here, by the way, the Gemara says over here, Aranami Afkara, that the field, the land itself, he was Maskir. The Ran has a different gear over here. He says, Aranami Rachmona Afkara, the Torah is Maskir. So what is it? Is it that the Torah automatically is Maskir the field, or is it that the owner of the field himself has to declare it Hefker during Shemitah? So there is actually, this gets into an interesting machorkas among the Uli Achronim on the question, if somebody was not Maskir his field, is it automatically Hefker during Shemitah? One way of looking at it, I believe the Beis Yosef Shitta, is you have to be Maskir it yourself. Aranami Afkara implies it's up to you to be Maskir it. If you're not Maskir, according to that opinion, no. Whereas according to the Ma'arit and the Mavis and some others, yes, it happens automatically. And in turn that has certain implications as far as the halachas of Trumas and Maestris. Normally, I mean, Truma and Maestris is not an effect during Shemitah because everything is Hefker. What about, though, they talk about land that Goyim are farming in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah, leaving aside the Hetzer Mechira a moment, that's a whole other issue, but land that Goyim themselves actually own and farm, they themselves obviously are not declaring it Hefker. And you don't, and the Israeli government doesn't have the will or the power or whatever to make them declare it Hefker. Is the produce of their field Chayiv and Truma and Maestris? According to the opinion that produce of a goy's field is Chayiv and Truma and Maestris, which is how the Rambam holds, then if you say that the fields are nevertheless considered automatically Hefker, the goy is working it, we can't help it, but it's still basically considered Hefker, then it's also from Truma and Maestris. Whereas if you argue that it's up to the owner of the field to declare it Hefker, and the goy, the owner, is obviously not doing that, then it should still be Chayiv and Truma and Maestris. No, but there is, though, if a goy owns land, it's actually machlokes in a number of places in Shas, if a goy owns land in Eretz Yisrael, does that take away the chiyuv of Truma and Maestris? So I misspoke a little bit. What about, if the goy himself harvests it and processes it and all, then yes, it is potter. What happens, though, if the goy sells the unprocessed fruit to a yid and he finishes processing it? So there you get into the question. If the field was considered Hefker, then the fruit is potter from Truma and Maestris, even though a Jew finished up the processing. Mashenkin, if you say the field should have been, if the field was not, should have been declared Hefker, if it's up to the owner to declare it Hefker, and this guy didn't, and now a Jew bought this fruit and is finishing up and bringing it to the point at which it's Chayiv and Truma and Maestris, then it would be Chayiv and Truma and Maestris. So it all depends on a lot of it depends on the wording in our Gemara over here, whether it's Aranami Afkara or Aranami Rachmana Afkara. Is it's up to the owner to be Mafkara, or is it that the Eivishter automatically is Mafkara?
Like now they have the whole head of control.
So the Hetem Mechira is a different issue. The Hetem Mechira, so that they sell the land to Goyim, yeah? So that way the Jews are able to work it during Shemitah.
In their own field,
yeah. So how they do as far as Trumas and Maestris, I don't know. Maybe then they follow the opinion. In that case, then yeah, it is owned by a Goy, but the Gemara Malacha is being done by a Jew, so I don't know how they work exactly. Maybe they do take Truma and Maestris from it, I don't know.
I thought the whole thing was also that you sure work until
the Shemitah. Well, it's supposed to be that Shemitah, you don't work the fields, but, you know, the whole Hetem... Yeah, well, I mean, the reason why we do it is as Eivishter said, so the fact that it refreshes the field, that's a side benefit. But 100-odd years ago, when they first started resettling Eretz Yisrael in large numbers and farming and whatever, then they came up with, there was a problem that they felt to say if they go a whole year without farming, they're going to starve to death. So a number of great Rabbanim of that time, including the Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan Spector, the Kovner Rav, and a number of other important Rabbanim got together and then came up with the Hetem Mechira. So many other Rabbanim at the time opposed it, and then, you know, from then until now, every 7 years, the Machlokas comes up again, but as time goes on, there are more and more people who are keeping Shemitah the full way without relying on the Hetzer Mechira, but you still have people who rely on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finished a lot earlier than normal.